Hey, before you dive into this fabulous Red Cow podcast, Frankie Frayne here, reminding you to check out the other shows at redcowentertainment.com. We, of course, have our flagship show, Howowie, which started this whole thing off, in which me and my friends crack each other up with all manner of scatological and observational humor. If you're having a bad day and just want to laugh, that's the show for you. There's currently 60 episodes and counting, so why not just start from the top and work your way forward? But, you know, maybe you're a little more topic-oriented. You might want to check out Rage Quit, in which a lot of the guys you know from Howowie get together and talk video games. We talk old classic games. We talk brand spanking new games. It gets geeky as shit on this show, but with a great deal of ball busting if you're into that kind of thing. I totally am. Maybe you're not into all the joking around and you're here for some filmmaking advice and filmmaking stories. Check out Discount Film School, where I interview over 40 filmmakers, animators, actors, film festival programmers, and film columnists. Guys like Lloyd Kaufman, Jason McHugh, Alexander Philippe, and so many more. And finally, don't miss our newest show, Lone Holdout. As the name suggests, our two hosts, Emily Brinkmeyer and Tycho Alhambra, try new things they've been totally holding out on, whether it's TV shows or hobbies or activities or music, and they dedicate each episode to examining that topic. It's a ton of fun. So go like the Red Cow Entertainment Facebook page. We post everything we do over there. We have literally hundreds of hours of podcasts, video blogs, short films, feature films, and animations. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Let's get on with the show.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Tycho.
And we're friends, right?
Sure, I guess.
As much as two strangers on the internet can be friends. And like most friends, we try to influence each other's tastes.
And like most friends, sometimes that influence is for something good we legitimately love, and sometimes it's for something horrific and terrible.
And that's what you're about to hear. This is Lone Holdout.
Hey everybody, this is Future Tycho coming at you in the past. This episode, we are going to discuss the first episode of the BBC series Sherlock, A Study in Pink. If you have not seen it yet and you have plans to see it, you should probably skip this episode until you have seen it because there are spoilers. There are also some references to other things that happen throughout the series, so you may just want to give this one a pass if you plan on watching Sherlock and then come back to it after that. So, spoilers abound. You have been warned. Don't come crying to us if bad stuff happens. Okay, so Sherlock and Watson go on a camping trip, right? And they're out there, they're having their thing, and they lay down for the night. They crawl into their tent, lay down for the night, and there. And about a little bit later, Sherlock wakes up and he kind of nudges Watson with his elbow and he says, Watson, wake up. And Watson opens his eyes and looks around and he goes, what? And he said, look straight up, what do you see? He said, I see millions and millions of stars. And Sherlock said, and what does that tell you? And after a minute or so, Watson, you know, sitting there thinking about it, and he goes, well, astronomically, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I observe that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, it's approximately 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, I can see that God is all-powerful and that we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, that's a hard word to say. I suspect that we'll have a beautiful day today. What does it tell you? And Sherlock just kind of silent for a moment, then he goes, it tells me that someone has stolen our tent, you idiot!
Funny and with gay undertones, kind of like the show we just watched. So, we watched Pretty in Pink. No, we watched Rhapsody in Pink.
Nope, try again.
We watched A Study in Pink.
There you go!
So, which is Sherlock on the BBC, Season 1, Episode 1.
Yep.
And this is Tycho's recommendation for me.
Yes, because Emily is a American classless, uncultural swine. Sorry. That's the joke I usually make about myself. I'm like, no, I haven't seen it. I'm an uncultured swine. This was the premiere episode of Sherlock, which is a show that I absolutely love and get super excited every year and a half when the three episodes of it come on. And then it disappears again for another year and a half, much to my depression and annoyance. Emily, the episode that you watched was about an hour and a half long.
Yes.
They're all actually about an hour and a half long. Would you classify that as a television show or as a made-for-TV movie?
Maybe a miniseries?
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. All right, I'm giving it. Yeah, we'll call it a miniseries. So they do 3 hour and a half episodes, and then they disappear for about a year and a half. While Stephen Moffat goes off and concentrates on Doctor Who, as he should. And then they come back and they do three more episodes and then disappear again for another year and a half. A Study in Pink is the first episode of the first series. Man, we're just repeating. I'm just repeating myself over and over and over again.
Well, how many series has it been going on for so far?
The third series just started on New Year's Day.
Okay.
And the second episode of that series was on Sunday. So they did the first series and they did like a couple days off, and then they did the second episode. And then the third and final episode is, I think, this coming Sunday. So it's January 12th is the coming, as we're recording this. So, overall, it's a modern adaptation of the Sherlock Holmes stories by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. A Study in Pink is the modern retelling of the first Sherlock Holmes book, A Study in Scarlet, which sticks pretty fairly to the book, or at least the first half of the book. Watson is introduced to Holmes because he's just been discharged from the military, and he's looking for someone to share a flat with. And his friend Michael Stamford introduces him to Sherlock Holmes, and that is how they become acquainted and become friends and start sharing in adventures. And I read an article, I don't remember where I read it, it might actually be in the Sherlock Holmes compendium that I've got, that Michael Stamford is the single most important character in Sherlock Holmes literature, even though he only appears at the very beginning of the very first book for like a couple paragraphs, because without him, we wouldn't have the Sherlock Holmes stories, because he introduced Watson to Holmes. So he is the singularly most important character, and I'm not entirely sure I disagree with that. So Mike Stamford introduces Watson to Holmes, and they get a flat together with the charming and very old lady-ish
Mrs. Hudson,
that's her name. I'm not your roommate. I'm not your housekeeper, dear. And have adventures. And that's pretty much it.
So since this is your recommendation to me, why don't you tell me about what the appeal is?
The appeal for me is I love Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
These
guys have been going on for quite a while. What do you really feel like we can get more out of it?
More out of it than I love Sherlock Holmes?
No. More like the fact that when were the books written?
The books were written in the late 1800s,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
And there have been adaptations going on constantly since. And
yes.
You know, now that it's in the public domain, which just happened recently, there might be.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. There might be.
I did not know that.
Even more. So is there still blood left in this stone?
My personal feeling on it is that this particular Sherlock, they updated it to the modern day. Mm-hmm. Sherlock uses a smartphone to check, you know, weather listings and train schedules and stuff like that. He uses everything at his disposal that he can use. I mean, he uses you know, computers. He uses a lot of technology to achieve his ends and solve. And
so is that what saves it? If this was another old-timey one, would that have been boring?
I think if it was old, you know, set in a like classic Sherlock, you know, I think that it would be. I think that it would definitely not be as popular as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think they updated it. They gave it two. They gave it two stars that have really good chemistry together, and I personally don't see it. Apparently, Benedict Cumberbatch is like a huge thing with girls.
We can get into this in a second. Are you familiar with what his female fan base calls themselves?
His female fan base call themselves Cumberbitches.
Cumberbitches. Yeah. I don't think I'm a Cumberbitch. And this was a good choice because, you know, I had not watched Sherlock and hadn't formed an opinion on it. But also, I hadn't figured out how I felt about Benedict Cumberbatch. And maybe I still don't. The only thing I had ever seen him in was Star Trek, the reboot where he plays Khan. And I'm wondering if maybe he was miscast in that, because if he was going to play anybody from Star Trek, he needed to play Odo, because he himself is a shapeshifter, because sometimes he is real hot and sometimes he is too ugly to handle. And I got real distracted trying to watch this because I didn't know in what guy I was getting in which scene. It was pretty hard to handle.
There is a whole series of memes on the internet about Benedict Cumberbatch.
Where he's
like
got a potato superimposed on his face?
Well,
that's one I've seen.
That. I posted that on Facebook a couple days ago. I saw that. But there's a whole, it's like Benedict Cumberbatch in an angry, hold on, Benedict Cumberbatch, is it an otter or is it a beaver?
I think I've seen that also, yeah.
Oh, Benedict Cumberbatch otter, yeah. Otters who look like Benedict Cumberbatch. It's a whole thing. Anybody listening to that, if you like Benedict Cumberbatch, go ahead and look up Benedict Cumberbatch looks like an otter.
Yeah, this guy's melon is gigantic. Like, if he's not going to play Odo, I want him to play Doug Funny, and from that, play Quail Man. Not because he's necessarily suited for it, but because I want to get a hold of the belt that Quail Man wears on his head, just so I can measure the inside and see what we're working with. Because that guy's head... it's ginormous. He escaped from Easter Island, is what he's looking like. You know, so you talk about two main actors with chemistry. You got Easter Island and Bilbo Baggins, right?
So you want a live action Doug?
Just so I can dress him up like Quail Man and see how big of a circumference we're talking about with the belt that Quail Man wears on his head. So, Easter Island and Bilbo Baggins.
Yes.
So, the other guy we've got going on here is Martin Freeman.
Right.
And I think he might be the male Felicia Day.
He's
He's a nerd darling. He's a geek sweetheart. He's getting all these major roles that nerds cream their pants for. You know, you've got The Hobbit. You've got this. You've got Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Which is unfortunate because the Hobbit movies are not good.
It's no good?
I have not liked either of them so far. Also, while we're on the subject of Into Darkness, Star Trek Into Darkness, I didn't like that either. That was a completely garbage movie. I liked the first one. I thought the first one was good. The second one was just garbage. All right.
I get distracted by Benedict Cumberbatch's giant head. And... they try to make him out like he's hot on the show, because he gets hit on the show, doesn't he?
Are we talking about
in the episode?
Sherlock?
Yeah, Sherlock. In the episode that I watched, he gets hit on. And I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but
Molly. You're talking about Molly.
Molly.
The girl in the morgue.
Yes. The one who is sometimes wearing lipstick.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's Molly. Molly's awesome.
Oh, okay.
She's a...
But in some shows where they don't really have the convictions of just standing on whether or not their actors are hot, they'll try to point out that they're hot. And this is something I've noticed with MASH. You've got Hot Lips Houlihan toward the end of the series, you know, because she started out the show about 40-ish and looking all right. And they didn't really say much about her appearance. And then later on, when she's pushing 50... she's been through a rough couple of years. She's already had some plastic surgery. Then they start talking about how hot she is. And so Sherlock getting hit on was kind of that same moment for me. So unlike Duck Dynasty, which made me feel kind of genius and superior, I think this one maybe had the opposite effect. Not making me feel like an idiot, but making me feel like maybe I should read the books in order to catch all the Easter eggs.
There are a few references that they make that are references to things in the books. Normally, like A Study in Pink, they will make some sort of joke about titles of shows. There's one episode, I think it's the third episode in the first series, where at the very beginning, they're just running through, they're just kind of talking about John's blog and how they'll have, you know, like there's these three kids who come to them and they say, so we've been reading this comic book and all the stuff that's been happening in the comic book has started happening to us in real life. And John writes it up as the geek interpreter, which there's a Shakespeare. What? Hi. There's a Sherlock story called The Greek Interpreter.
Oh.
And there's the speckled band becomes the speckled blonde, which the only reference we get to it in the show is there's this blonde woman that they find dead, and the only clue that they have are these weird little spots all over her body. So they refer to her as the speckled blonde. And it's just stuff like that. So, I mean, if you're familiar with the titles, I mean, you can get more out of it that way, but I think really that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
This episode, when they find the woman in pink and she's dead on the floor and she's written RACHE in her own blood. Is it in her own blood?
She had scratched it in with her fingernails.
Okay. In the story, it actually is German for revenge. Mm-hmm. It's Rache, German for revenge. And they spend a lot of time in the book looking for someone named Rachel. Whereas in the TV show, the forensic officer says, well, she's German. Rache stands for Rachel. And Sherlock is like, no, that what? No, don't be stupid. And it actually turns out that Rachel is a person that they need to find. So they'll take things and they'll turn it on their head, or they'll make little jokes about, you know, story titles.
Well, one thing he does joke about is he says that people will usually assume that he's the killer because he knows the killer's mind. Is that something that happens in the books?
Not to my knowledge. And I have not, I've only read maybe about the first half of the canon of Sherlock. I haven't read all of it by far. I've read everything up to his, the Reichenbach Falls, where he confronts Moriarty. But I don't think anyone ever thinks that he's the killer.
Okay. It's just a joke then. Now, yeah. There is some joking that goes on. There's quite a bit of gay joking.
Yeah, and does that continue?
That does continue.
I don't think it's in every episode, but it is referenced a lot. John is gay and has the hots for Sherlock, and he's constantly no, I'm not. And in this, actually, the first episode of this season, Mrs. Hudson is talking to John, and she's like, and she says, you know, I know how it feels to lose someone that important to you, and that's not a spoiler, because I didn't talk about how or why him and Sherlock are not together anymore. So that's not, I don't consider it a spoiler. If you do, I'm sorry.
Yeah, listeners, doing some research for this, I came across quite a few spoilers, unfortunately.
Okay.
So,
anyway, Sherlock and John part company at one point in the series. And Mrs. Hudson is consoling John, and she's like, I know how it feels to lose somebody that important to you. You know, my husband was, you know, when, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he just looks at her and he goes, for the last time, I'm not gay. I'm not gay!
That doesn't even sound like gay talk. It just sounds like she's trying to make him feel better. But like in this episode, yeah, we have her asking if they need two separate bedrooms when they're moving into the flat. We have...
And she's like, no, we're totally open-minded. And one of her friends who also lets room, she's like, oh, she's got a couple like that. It's not... We don't... Yeah. Yeah, so.
And then we have the waiter at the restaurant assuming that that they're on a date.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember who said this because I don't remember if they had dropped who he was already, but because they introduce Sherlock's brother at the end. But right. I think it was him who said, can I expect a happy announcement by the end of the week? Which kind of sounds
that, like that though, once if you should decide to get into the series, and we're going to save that for the end because I haven't, because I don't, if you decide to get into it, you will,
final
you will
judgment.
More of the Mycroft and Sherlock relationship, and their relationship is very antagonistic. Mm-hmm. They love to just needle each other and get under each other's skin, and just sometimes the best scenes in the show are when it's just those two just going at each other. So
how do you feel about the way the show is made, the way the clues are presented, the way text messages are read?
I think I like it. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, is that how they're doing it? Because that's really cool. Like, because sometimes I'll just show a close-up of the screen, you know, of the phone, and it's like,
That is annoying because that's not really what phones look like at all.
Yeah.
The only
yeah.
gripe I have about this, I mean, they kind of have to do it, otherwise it wouldn't make sense, but is people signing with their initials. And I know that's something that you do in real life, but that's...
I do it strictly on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't do it on text. I don't do it in text messages. I don't do it when I'm writing notes. That's strictly something that I do on Facebook, and I don't even know why I do it on Facebook.
Yeah. So it makes sense here, just because otherwise you're not going to know who it's from, because they're not putting up a number.
Right. Right. You know, so it may be for narrative convenience here, and it may also be that it's one of those things that maybe British phones do it, and like, you know, so it'll be like, you know, what is your name, and you type your name in there, and then it just signs all of your text messages for you because
we're British. They're British.
We're British, and yeah, because they're British.
Because they get away with anything. They're British.
Now see, that could be me being, you know, just assigning a stereotype, which I don't mean to do.
Yeah, the show, it looks great, and I like the puzzle solving, but sometimes it kind of delved in a little into Beautiful Mind kind of territory, and that movie creeps me out. I don't really like movies about mental illness, mm-hmm. but when he starts visualizing an alternate route and starts narrating all the road signs that he sees in his mind,
right.
that's a little over the top for me. Like, how often does that start happening in the future? Because
It's not like he's doing it because there's like some sort of cybernetic implant in his head. He's actually he's memorized the layout of London, and he's like, okay, so I can take this road to this road to this road. He's just trying to catch up to the cab.
Mm. So they play a game about taking poison. The idea that there are two things exactly the same. I can take one. You take one. One of us is gonna die.
Right.
And it's exactly the game they play in The Princess Bride. So is this a trope that I'm not aware of, and maybe The Princess Bride was spoofing it?
I am not familiar with it, if it is. I mean, I know it's kind of like, it's kind of a variation on Russian roulette, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's like you have a, you put one bullet in a gun, you spin the chamber. Don't play Russian roulette with an automatic handgun. It's not going to end well.
And don't play with a gun that's actually a lighter. You're going to singe your temples.
Yeah. So it's just like a variation on Russian roulette. You know, pick one, and if you're lucky, you win, and if you're not, then you don't win.
Were you kind of mad that they did not reveal whether he was right?
Well, I think the way I look at it is, it doesn't matter whether he was right or wrong. As soon as the gun came out, he knew it wasn't a real gun.
Mm-hmm.
So if it came down to it and he really didn't know, he would just refuse to take it, and then what's going to happen? He's like, you know, then he can arrest the guy, and it's not even an issue. So I don't think he would have made a choice. I think he would have called the bluff if he had to.
Mm-hmm.
And then just arrested the guy.
A citizen's arrest? Or just pulled out his card that says he's the police. Just kind of flash it.
That's a good point. Because
that he's not really a police officer?
Yeah, he's not really a police officer. He doesn't really do the arresting.
Yeah, I just would have liked to know more about the cabbie and how he felt like he knew what a person's answer was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that disappointed me a little bit about that episode is that you have the bad guy who is not somebody who's been there the entire time. Although I guess that's kind of a Sherlock Holmes trope itself, is that the bad guy is somebody that you often don't meet until the end. The whole first book, A Study in Scarlet, takes there's part one, which is they find the dead woman, and there's the whole investigation into her death. And then at the very end, Sherlock Holmes comes out of nowhere and arrests somebody who you've never met before, and you're like, what? Like, why did you? And he's like, hold on, let me tell you the whole story. And then part two goes back in time like 20 years and all the way across the world to the Mormon migration out west, because it all ties into that. And they tell this whole story in 6 chapters that has nothing to do with London and nothing to do with Sherlock. And it's strictly the reason why, the backstory behind why this woman got killed. And he was like, so once I figured all that out, I knew that this person had, and I was like, okay. And now that I'm actually thinking about the episodes, a lot of them, they don't introduce who the killer, it's not like the mysteries today where you have, you know, the killer is somebody that you see throughout the entire book.
Well,
and
that's a game I like to play with not CSI, Law and Order SVU, because the minute the biggest celebrity guest comes on,
right,
it's them. Either they are a lawyer and they're helping out, or it's them, or both.
Yep.
And the minute you see them, that's who it is. I would be a great lawyer in this world, because I could see right through that.
You know, a lot of the time, the killer or the bad guy is somebody who's not introduced until the end. And sometimes you may see them on the periphery, but a lot of times it's just somebody who's not introduced until the end. And a lot of the time, and that's how it is in the books too, in the stories. It's not somebody that you've met before. It's not like some big twist ending. It's just Sherlock figures it out, often doesn't explain to Watson until after everything is solved how he figured everything out, and deal with it.
So how many iterations of Sherlock and these stories have you seen? I mean, other shows, interpretations?
I've read a lot of the stories. I have seen all of the BBC Sherlock up to date, and there was one movie that I saw. I haven't seen any of the Basil Rathbone Sherlock. He's considered to be the best of the old school Sherlocks. I haven't seen any of those, but I did see one movie many years ago, and the only thing that I remember about it is that the entire plot hinged around Sherlock cryogenically freezing himself. Yes, this happened.
That's silly.
And a descendant of John Watson, who happens to be a girl.
Jane Watson.
Sure.
Jenna Watson.
That might have been what they named her. they meet up and end up teaming up. And at one point...
And she's his companion.
At one point... Nobody can see that, but I just shook my head dismissively at you.
Well, yeah, because I know one word about Doctor Who and just dropped it, so.
At one point, they're wondering when the suspect they're looking at and the victim knew each other, and she says to him, so when did they first meet? Was it college? Was it high school? And he says, no, and he points down at a school picture and he goes, elementary, my dear Watson. And I was like,
oh.
Right?
Facepalm so hard right now. So,
yeah.
Do you feel like this one is keeping in the spirit of the original books?
I feel like this one is without the whole thing about cocaine and smoking.
I don't think they got into cocaine very heavily in this episode, so.
Sherlock Holmes in the books used cocaine. Just deal with it. He did. He smoked a pipe in order to think. One of the more famous quotes that comes out of a Sherlock short story is from, I believe it's the Red-Headed League, I could be wrong, but he sits down to smoke a pipe and Watson says, that's the third pipe you smoked today, and Sherlock replies, well, it's a three-pipe problem, which is later used in one of the shorts, which is later used in one of the TV shows. In this one, Sherlock is trying to kick smoking.
Do you think that's a little politically correct?
He has a bunch of nicotine patches, and at one point he says it's a 3-patch problem.
Oh.
Is that politically correct?
You think they're trying to cater to, you know, instead of just having him be a smoker, just trying to cater to the anti-smoking league?
They had James Bond stop smoking. You know, and James Bond, like, if you read the James Bond books, one of the things is one of the I don't remember which book it's in, but it's like he wakes up and it said James Bond woke up and lit the first of his 70 cigarettes of the day.
Oh my God.
Or something like that. And I was like, wow. Yeah. So, you know, like, there was a study. Can I get slight tangent? There was a study that came out a couple weeks ago that people were like, well, we read through all the James Bond books and we have determined that
about
James
how
Bond
much he would
is
drink.
Is an alcoholic.
This showed up on Wait, Don't Tell Me, didn't
really? Really? You think so? Like, you read one book, James Bond is an alcoholic.
I know. But he's a fictional character, too, so why get on his ass about it?
So.
Overall, I liked it. I'll watch more.
All right.
Yeah.
You are convinced?
Yeah. But I think we need to play a poison game just like they did in the book. So
I have
2 bottles.
Oh, is that what the
that are exactly the same?
Okay.
In the right hand and in the left hand. And in
these don't actually contain poison. I'm not going to kill you.
No, kind of. It contains something you said you didn't want. So.
Oh God.
Uh huh. So on the one side,
this isn't to determine what our next episode is.
No.
Okay.
On the one side, we have a little bit of Duck Dynasty fan fiction. You said you're okay with that. And on the other side, we have a little bit of homoerotic bro fiction based around Sherlock and Watson. And you said that this is something you don't want to see your favorite character sullied by.
They're both poisons.
They're both poisons?
I don't want either one. Oh, God.
So you have to pick right hand or left hand.
I pick one and I open the file. Is that what I'm
That's
doing?
That's right.
Right.
Because last episode we touched a little bit on your previous podcast where you would read Craigslist articles, right? Or, you know, Craigslist entries. And I think what we learned is that the people on Craigslist are some of the most desperate, lonely, sad, illiterate people who just want a little bit of human contact and express themselves by writing the worst poetry and erotica ever. And we came up with a word for this. We're calling
under
it...
Under the guise of women will like this and want to get on
Well,
this.
I'm a woman and I'm going to go ahead and say nope. And so you and I came up with a word for this. We call it illiterotica. And even though you're kind of straight-laced and buttoned up, you will read some of the nastiest stuff known to man for a bit.
On a strictly satirical basis,
right.
Yes.
And so, here's our bit. None of this is really nasty.
Okay.
The Duck Dynasty stuff is based around some of the teenage kids on the show. John Luke, who was on the show we watched, shows up as a character. So I only pulled out a couple paragraphs for you from that one.
Okay.
What are you picking?
God. You know, when people are faced with a choice like this and they kind of agonize over it, I always look at it and I go, look, if you don't know what either one is going to get you, just pick one because it doesn't make a difference. So now here I am and I don't know what either one is going to give me, and I'm kind of agonizing over it. And I'm like, look, I don't know which
one. But it's all chance anyway. Isn't that what
I know?
I know. Isn't that what Sherlock says? It's just 50-50. It's just chance.
You're not playing the pills. You're playing me. All
and
right,
I can sit here and be, I'm a genius and you're an idiot and I know exactly what you're going to do. I don't, but I'm excited.
I'm going to go with right hand strictly on the basis that I'm right-handed. That's it.
Oh, you are. I'm left-handed. So
that's okay.
We just learned so much about each other.
Well, then you can read the left-handed one. All right. Opening up right-hand.pdf. Please, God, it's a Duck Dynasty stuff. I really don't want to read homoerotic fan fiction.
It's not too... So
God damn
I'm
going
to need you to start... At, hang on, let's see. I want you to start. It's on the second page. John Sherlock called from the kitchen, and you could probably end at "What the fuck was that?" That's not too much. Let me just set some context to this story. In this story, it's not a show, it's a real thing, and they've gotten really famous. And they're getting lots of like fan letters from women who are in love with them. And they're realizing that they have a presence on the internet where people write slash fic about them.
By the way, do you know why they call it slash fic?
I just figured it out
the other day.
I have my suspicions, but go ahead and tell me.
It is called slash fic because it is Watson slash Sherlock.
Oh. Which I've found that in this world, they're calling them John Locke. That's their combination. If you're okay. If you're shipping those two, because there are also people who ship Sherlock and his brother. There are people who are into shipping some of the police characters. So,
okay.
But it seems like these are the two you want to ship the most, John Locke. And they do address that in this story.
Okay, I'm not going to try to do voices or accents.
Okay, I'm okay with that. Now, that's a thing to love about Benedict Cumberbatch is his voice. I would listen to his podcast. As long as I don't have to look at his damn face.
His potato otter face. If my dear, lovely, wonderful friend Hannah is listening to this, she just exploded in rage because she is like Archbishop of the Cumberbatch. She's like Archbishop? All right.
She's the Cumberbishop.
There we go. All
right. And for the sake of brevity, what are you supposed to call this man? I mean, Ben? Cumby? Is there a nickname? BC? What do people call him? Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think the Cumberbitches just refer to him as Benedict. I don't know.
Okay.
Hannah is really the only Cumberbitch I know. and I don't even know if she would like being called a Cumberbitch. Sorry, Hannah, if you're listening and you don't like being called that.
Bitches love being called Cumberbitches.
I will just occasionally post something on Facebook that has to do with Benedict Cumberbatch, just because I have discovered that if I post anything on Facebook that has him mentioned in it, she will like it. And so one day, just for the heck of it, I just wrote, this is a test, Benedict Cumberbatch. And she came on and she was like, I am not going to like that. And she was like, and I was like, it's okay. You commented on it.
So we're going to get a like on this episode automatically.
Probably. Yeah.
Awesome.
She'll tell people about this one.
All right. Enough dicking around.
All right.
You know what you're supposed to do.
I know. All right. John, Sherlock called from the kitchen one quiet evening. Yes, John called back. He was half watching a TV program, half reading a magazine, and had his feet propped up on the coffee table, a cup of tea in one hand. What is slash? What is what? Slash. I've never heard the term in such a context before, and do you know what the abbreviation RPF stands for? What are you doing? John asked curiously, but also warily. There seems to be a new trend amongst the fans. That alone was enough to get John out of his seat and padding into the kitchen with interest. Sherlock was sitting at the table waiting for a sample to mature whilst on the internet. RPF? John asked, pulling up a seat and looking over Sherlock's shoulder. Somehow I don't think it is the Railway Protection Force. One of Sherlock's fans' luridly colored blogs was on the screen and the post was entitled, OMG, read this now, so hot! With a link underneath that was called John Locke RPF PWP No Like No Read. Also, what is the abbreviation PWP, Sherlock asked, and what in God's name is John Locke? Something uneasy settled in John's stomach. I'm almost afraid to know. Sherlock himself looked a little timorous as he hesitantly clicked on the link. A new window opened. John barely got a glance of strong hands stroked up my leg, wrapping around my thigh, whilst his soft lips nibbled at my ear. Please, John, I cried out, please, more, before Sherlock had literally thrown the laptop away from him so that it went skidding across the table and leapt from his seat. What the fuck, cried John, what the fuck was that?
Seems about right. If you want me to read the Duck Dynasty one, I guess I can.
I was just glancing through it, and I hadn't read any of it, and all I saw was the bold text that said, OMG, read this now, so hot. And I was so hoping, please let this be the person who wrote this, interjecting, this is the hot part, here we go.
Yeah, sometimes the authors will put author's notes. Just looking for these two stories, I've come across so much fan fiction. I feel so dirty. I'm gonna have to go read something real. So... I'll go ahead and read The Boy in Camo Pants, Duck Dynasty fanfic.
Oh boy. Here mm-hmm. we go.
And
oh wait, now am I allowed to riff on this?
Are you allowed to riff on
it? No, I mean, do you want me to stay silent while you read, or do you want me to interject comments as I see
fit? You can, I guess. It's not very long. And I have okay. Yeah, it's only a couple of paragraphs. And right. I have some issues myself.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you don't have to stand by silent and enjoy it.
I wasn't going to enjoy
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of these Duck Dynasty ones center around a teenage girl moving next door to the Robertsons. Because this plot showed up several times. And so...
That's like Scooby-Doo or like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's all kind of...
We're all...
And if you want to be fair, a lot of the Sherlock stories are kind of the same plot, just, you know, a little difference in details where something mysterious is happening, nobody knows what's going on until Sherlock is like, duh, here we go, here's what's going on, and then he explains it all at the end.
And so in this one, the teenage girl moves next door to the Robertsons. Her name is Scarlet, but they're calling her Red. Get it? Because Scarlet is a shade of red. They repeat it a couple of times, just so you know.
Okay,
where this nickname
thanks.
Is coming. I know, just so you know.
Okay.
And so I guess there are three teenage boys in the Robertson family, and she has picked which one she likes best, because they're all really into her. So she has picked Cole. I think the guy that was doing the hunting in the last episode that we watched was John Luke. So this okay. is his brother. Oh, was what he said. We should probably get going, I suggested. We stood up and intertwined our fingers. He looked down at me. I nodded. Red, he asked, looking down at me. Yes, Cole, I asked. Do y'all, will y'all be my girlfriend? He asked, scratching the back of his neck. I giggled at him for being nervous. Aw, is Ickle Cole an ickle bit nervous, I asked.
No, stop, no. You can get away with saying ickle if you're writing about frickin' Ron Weasley, all right?
I've never heard it in a real-life context. I think the only time I've heard it is related to the Harry Potter books. So.
That's true, yeah, or movies. I heard it in the movies a couple times, but I don't think I've ever heard it. I may have used it in real life just because I heard it in Harry Potter and was like, I'm going to use that to make fun of somebody, but I don't think I've ever actually heard anybody actually saying it. So, yeah, no.
So.
And certainly not freaking Duck Dynasty people. All right?
Well, she's not from the area. She's from Canada. She just moved in next door.
Apparently. But
so.
Maybe she's a Weasley. Maybe she's secretly a Weasley. And like, because, you know, red hair. Didn't you say she had red hair or is she just called Red?
Her name is Scarlet and so they call her Red.
Okay.
She's got blonde hair. Her best friend has red hair.
Okay.
I'm into these details. So Ickle Cole is an ickle bit nervous. I asked, poking his chest. He blushed deep crimson. And as you know, crimson is a shade of red.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
That's an aside for you. That's not in the story. Psh, no, what are y'all talking about? He asked, and I laughed. He muttered something and asked, so my question? Of course, I replied, and his face lit up, and he grabbed my waist and lifted me off the ground. He spun me around and then placed me back on the ground. He kissed me, and I felt thousands of fireworks burst in my body. It felt as if someone let out millions of butterflies fly around in my stomach. Oh, that's good sentence structure. Someone cleared their throat, causing Cole and I to pull apart. It was Reed. So, a little bit of a cliffhanger there. First of all, y'all does not refer to a singular person.
This is used
for a plural. It's you all. It is used for a group. Will y'all be my girlfriend? No.
No. I know several people who are deeply, dangerously Southern.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not referred to a single person as y'all.
I will use a y'all sometimes, but I will use it to refer to more than one person.
I will use it just, you know, as a contraction. By the way, when you write y'all, do you write Y'ALL or do you write YA'LL?
Yeah, I will go with the former because I don't approve of the latter.
Okay. Good.
Good. We're on the same page here.
So the guy who apostrophized sometimes earlier in the recording. Shut up.
Well, you didn't have to admit to it. I wasn't going to call you out.
Well, I can admit my faults. Mm. All right. What are we talking about?
Well, we just... I understand your mind has been blown by that sexy, sexy fanfic we just read. Yeah, I couldn't let the Duck Dynasty one go by because will y'all be my girlfriend? It's a little too irresistible.
Y'all be my girlfriend? Yes, we replied in unison.
And we all became his sister wives, and it was reality show Nirvana.
Duck Dynasty, sister wives.
I love it. So maybe we should go start writing this right now.
Nope.
No?
But no. No.
Well, I was trying to sign us off.
Oh. All right. So that was, I guess that was our coverage of Sherlock. Overall consensus is that it is good and you should watch it. Welcome to the fandom. Hope you enjoy your stay.
Oh, thank you.
You are actually, you could watch almost pretty much the first three series just straight through, mm-hmm. Without having to wait a year and a half in between. But then once you get caught up, you know, you'll have to wait like the rest of us.
Sorry. And do they have a plan for ending, or is it just an ongoing thing?
I don't know. Let's see what Wikipedia, which is always right, has to say about it. Series 4, Gaddis, Moffat, Cumberbatch, and Freeman have stated that they are preparing for a fourth series. So it looks like there's going to be at least a fourth series.
Okay.
So Sherlock, there it is.
There it is.
Yes, we're all wrapped up and done from there.
All right.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
No.
No?
Y'all come
all right,
back now.
Well then, all right. Take off your shoes. Stay a while.
Well, yeah, but I'd like to think we have more than one listener, so I think y'all is kind of an okay thing to say.
Well, then you can go ahead and say it.
Y'all come back now.
All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting our silly little podcast. And tell your friends about us. Write us and review us on iTunes. We have an email address, which is loanholdouts@gmail.com.
You can also get us at loanholdout@redcowentertainment.com.
Oh, well, there you go. Either way. We have talked about setting up a Twitter. I have not done anything with it yet because I think Twitter is stupid.
We do have a Facebook page that you can be a fan of.
Yes. Yep. So come in and like that. There's already, like, what, 7 or 8 people who have liked it so far?
And these are all my people, so I think you need to pimp it out.
That's
a
true.
Bit.
They're all kind of related to Emily. So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting, and we will see you next time.
Good night. Bye.
So are you actually podcasting under the influence?
That's a Diet Coke, so no.
Okay.